Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 86, recorded Sunday, December 26, 2010. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. Two topics on this edition of the Travel Commons Podcast: fun with layovers, and from the archives, story behind the closing tune. Well, this week, coming to you again from the Travel Commons studios, wrapping up the year in the white icebox that is Chicago this winter. And it's a cold one. Now, it's not as bad as what they've been getting in Minneapolis-St. Paul. I mean, watching that video a couple of weeks ago of the Metrodome ceiling collapse, that was pretty amazing. Nor is it what New York is getting tonight with, 25 inches of snow and 60-mile-an-hour gusts of wind. I think I read somewhere that this is, I think the seventh coldest December on record in Chicago. So I can tell you I wasn't too upset when my travel plans had me in Phoenix two out of the past 3 weeks. Now, packing for my last trip, I promised myself that somewhere in the 4 days that I was in Phoenix, I'd find a couple of hours to get out of the office and go hike up Camelback Mountain. It was 12 degrees in Chicago when I was packing, and the forecast for Phoenix was 70s and 80s all week. I've always said that if you don't take at least a little something for yourself, with all the travel, you're going to end up hating your life. And for me, getting outside in 78 degree weather in December, that's a little something. So I'm in Phoenix. I start looking for my opening. Monday, that's not working. I mean, inbound travel days are usually jam-packed anyhow, and American Airlines just added to it, making it into an overstuffed carry-on. They threw a two-hour maintenance delay coming out of Chicago. I mean, complete with having to get off and swap out and find a new plane. I tell you, it makes me misty for the days when airlines actually knew how to spell the words preventive maintenance. Tuesday goes by. Wednesday morning, I think, I'll do it on Thursday before I fly home, but I stop myself. My Wednesday afternoon wasn't that full, so I push some stuff around, and presto, I mean, there's my couple of hours. So I race back to the hotel, change, look at the map. I don't know, Camelback might be a bit too far of a drive, especially if I hit traffic at the back end. It feels like it might be tight on the dinner meeting. But now Squaw Peak, that looks doable. So off I race. And then after sort of 1.2 miles of walking, 1,200 vertical feet, and 19 ounces of Propel sports drink, I was at the top. I mean, I sat there for a bit, caught my breath. It was just, very, very beautiful. And then I looked at my iPhone. Full bars. So I clicked it over, and I started running email, and I basically turned the summit of Squaw Peak into my office for the next 30 minutes. I mean, reading a couple documents, cranking out some quick notes, all the time while, watching the planes and the birds fly by. Now, I took a photo at the summit, which I later posted on the Travel Commons Facebook page and Twitter feed, just in case you'd like to see what my new office looks like. So following up, in the last episode, and actually in a Travel Commons post prior to that, I sang the praises of my 11-inch MacBook Air as the perfect travel PC, which, of course, meant that I had tempted the technology gods, who, in response, reached out from their Valhalla data center and smote the little unibody of brushed metal, bricking it on my last day in Scottsdale. I open the lid, no instant on. I press the power button, no instant on. I held the power button for 5 seconds, for 15 seconds, for 5 minutes. Nothing but a dead screen. Ugh. If this had happened on any other laptop, my first course of action would have been to drop the battery to try and reset the power management. But that ain't happening with a MacBook Air. I mean, everything is just screwed down tight. So after stabbing the power button another half dozen times, I gave up and headed over to the Genius Bar at the Scottsdale Apple Store, which, given that this was Thursday, made me very thankful that I had done my hike up Squaw Peak the day before, on Wednesday. So anyhow, since our company allows Macs but doesn't provide help desk support, I mean, our development teams are the one that use Macs, and I don't know, stooping to call a help desk would be the furthest thing from their minds. The Genius Bar is the de facto help desk for anything Apple. Now, since it was near lunchtime and I wasn't sure whether I was going to score an upgrade on my flight back to O'Hare, I stopped off at Smashburger. A Travel Commons listener, I forget who, had replied to one of my In-N-Out Burger tweets asking if I had tried Smashburger, which I had not. I walk in, you kind of scan the menu. It was a good burger. I really enjoyed it. Now, it doesn't quite have the mystique and certainly does not have the ambiance of an In-N-Out Burger, but I'll tell you, it's still a good burger in that same sort of, no, you know, burger, fries, nothing frozen sort of class. Good place. I'd recommend it. Now, one of the things, though, I should have done while waiting for my Smashburger was book a time at the Genius Bar, because walking into the Apple Store, the hipster with an iPhone who met me told me that it would be a 30-minute wait. I checked my watch. You know, I had enough time before my flight back home. Right at 30 minutes, a genius walked over to me, opened my Mac, punched the power button a couple of times, and I looked at that, wondering if it was going to respond differently to the to the finger of a genius than just the finger of a schlub like me. But no, nothing different happened. The genius stood back, looked at the PC, looked at the Mac, and said, "Wow." Now, that's not a word you ever want to hear from a tech support guy. Wow. But he said, "Wow." And then he took it into the genius back room. Okay, maybe that was a bit better than having some guy in India tell me over the phone to restart my PC a couple of times, but I don't know. Wow. So I look at my watch again. How long before I have to fetch, you know, go back and find my genius because I got to dash to the airport? Well, not long, as it turned out. I mean, 5 minutes later, the genius comes back with my now working Mac. My initial diagnosis was right. It was the battery, or the PMU, power management unit, I guess Apple calls it. Now, since you can't drop the battery, there's this multi-finger key sequence. You hold down Shift, Control, Option, Command. I don't know if you have any fingers left on your left hand. And then you hit the power button with your right. Now, I wrote all this down so I could self-serve next time. I'm not sure if the whole experience was any better than hanging on hold for, you know, for a help desk. But I tell you, I'm paying more attention to location of Apple stores now. Now, you know, the 30-minute wait wasn't a complete loss. I mean, and though my Mac was dead, my iPad and iPhone were fine. So while I was waiting for my genius to arrive, I was running email and reading documents on the iPad. I mean, again, not a complete loss, but it would not have worked if I had needed to talk to somebody live. Like, you know, if I'd had to have a conference call, that Apple store was noisy. Now, and this is a big problem with the digital nomad work style. You know, no office, working out of Starbucks and airport clubs and the like. I mean, there's no good place to take a conference call. I mean, you can IM, email, text, you know, chat, all you want. But once you need to open that voice channel, have a real-time phone call, it's a very different story. I mean, nobody wants to be the guy who's flooding the conference bridge with overhead muzak or, you know, the signature sound of a barista steaming up a pitcher of milk. And really, airports are no better. I mean, if they don't have an Admiral's Club or Red Carpet Club or President's Club, or if you're flying Southwest, I mean, then the hunt is on for a spot not under a PA speaker and a place that's away from the aisles with the, you know, with the beeping assistance carts. Man, you think the hunt for a working electrical outlet is tough. I am forever trolling through new issues of SkyMall magazine looking for a real life cone of silence like they had in Get Smart. I don't know. I wonder if the Brookstone store in O'Hare's Terminal 3 has one. Hey, in the last episode, we talked about the bathroom being one of the most important rooms in a hotel, and it is. And right after that, for me at least, is the workout room. I stayed in the Ashton Hotel in downtown Fort Worth earlier this month. I mean, a nice place, a boutique hotel in a historic building right near downtown, and or right in downtown, and near Sundance Square, and near a great beer bar, the Flying Saucer. I never did quite get the backstory on that name. But would I recommend the Ashton to friends? I mean, the Flying Saucer, yes, but the Ashton? I don't think so. I don't think so because the workout room is so limited or lame. I mean, it ended up being just a small room in the basement with a couple of treadmills and an elliptical, and then with a stand-up fan pointed at them. Now, that might be good, maybe, for a one-night stay, but I was there for three, and I, like many frequent travelers, depend on hotel fitness rooms to stay in some semblance of shape. And I got to tell you, a couple of treadmills stuffed in a closet just doesn't cut it anymore. And finally, I want to remind everyone that Google's Christmas present of free GoGo in-flight Wi-Fi is still on Delta, AirTran, and Virgin America Airways. It runs through January 2nd. I mean, it's a perfect way to post up those family Christmas pics on your flight home. Hey, if you have a question, a story, a comment, a travel tip, the voice of the traveler, send it along. Text or MP3 file. The email address is, as always, comments, comments, at travelcommons.com. Or you can send a Twitter message to M. Peacock, or you can post them on the Travel Commons Facebook page, or, if all else fails, post them on the website at travelcommons.com. So the first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is fun with layovers. Now, one of the most sacred frequent traveler rules is fly direct, be it winter with snow or summer with thunderstorms. Adding that intermediate stop just adds one more point of failure, one more opportunity for the airlines to screw up. And while many connecting flights are cheaper than direct ones, for a true comparison, you have to factor in the potential costs of a delay. I mean, hotel room, because the airlines won't pay for weather delays, meals, replacement clothes, and toiletries for misrouted luggage. In a episode last year, I calculated the cost, sort of the break-even premium, you know, how much more you should be willing to pay for a direct flight over a connecting flight. And I got that was somewhere around $100-$150, factoring in all those costs. But you know, with the right frame of mind, an adventuring frame of mind, as one person put it, you can actually manufacture something good out of a connection. But I'll tell you, the first requirement to doing that is you've got to step away from the one-hour connection. Yes, we normally want to get to our destinations in the shortest possible time, but accepting a connection of 1 hour or less, I mean, think about that. A 15-minute delay on your inbound flight, which I'll tell you is as good as on time for most airlines, and you're sprinting through the terminal and probably having to check your carry-on because they've already started boarding. Actually, I was thinking about this, sprinting through the terminal. Remember, some of us are old enough, remember when we used to call it OJing it through the terminal? But that was a long time ago. Well, anyhow, a one-hour connection will have you OJing it through the terminal. And that's just asking for a stress attack and maybe an overnight stay at the airport branch of the Bates Motel. The second requirement to enjoying a layover is to connect through some place that you might want to visit. Now, on those rare occasions where I'm forced to take a connection, I look at the flight choices and think, where would I not mind being stuck? Now, okay, I know this sounds a little bit odd, but think about this. I mean, I'm flying from Phoenix to Fort Myers, Florida. There are zero direct flights between those two endpoints. I mean, no surprise. So where do I want to connect through? Miami, Dallas, Houston, O'Hare, Atlanta. I mean, the total flight duration, you know, for going through any of these connections is, you know, within sort of, you know, 60, 75 minutes of each other. So, I mean, for me, it's an easy choice. I go through O'Hare. I mean, if I get stranded, I get to sleep in my own bed. And if I get delayed, I call up my wife and we grab dinner. Where I've had other had to make other choices, though, I've really sort of thought about it. I mean, traveling with my family to Cape Town, South Africa, a couple of years ago, I chose a connection that went through Frankfurt because I knew that the airport wasn't too far out of town, you know, as opposed to like Heathrow, which is all the way out. Frankfurt's pretty close. So we landed after our overnight flight from Chicago. We ended up with about a, you know, 5-hour layover. We went through customs, headed straight for a cab, and had them take us right downtown to Romer Square, right in the middle of town. We had lunch, a couple of wursts. I had a beer. Kids went shopping for remaindered World Cup t-shirts, and then we walked around downtown for 4 hours. I mean, it was great. It was this impromptu, quick sightseeing excursion between a couple of overnight flights. Now, some years back, my parents were flying from Denver to Paducah, Kentucky to visit my aunt and my grandmother. And again, you know, no direct flights, so they connected through O'Hare. And as you can guess, on the way home, their commuter flight was late out of Paducah, and they missed a tight connection in O'Hare. My dad called me from the airport. It was New Year's Eve night, and we were having some friends over. "Get your luggage and book the flight out tomorrow," I told him. "You can help me cook dinner." I mean, it was completely unplanned. I picked him up, brought him home, threw an apron at my dad, and we ended up having a great evening. Now, planning ahead for these possibilities is key, though. Last week, friends and longtime Travel Commons listeners Alan Marco and Chris Chufo got caught in O'Hare when a snowstorm caused the crew for their flight to Jacksonville to time out. Now, that was a bad night. I mean, some 1,500 flights were canceled between O'Hare and Midway in Chicago. I mean, the United customer service line stretched all the way down Concourse C. Now, a frequent traveler, Alan immediately rang up United's premier exec line, got seats on the next day's flight to Jacksonville, and then found a room at the nearby Hilton Garden Inn and ended up stepping out of line to go to bed. However, they were without luggage. United didn't even try to give them back. And because they had had to check one bag anyhow with Christmas presents, they decided not to carry on. I mean, a reasonable decision. You know, you avoid the battle for carry-on space on what you know are going to be full Christmas flights. And because, you know, they had time, because it was personal, not business travel, they didn't have to, you know, there was no need to power directly from the flight to a meeting. But without carry-on, all they had were the clothes on their back and the toiletries that they could scrounge from the Hilton. So, you know, planning there a little bit, when you're thinking about those layovers, I know that Chris on the way back definitely had a change of clothes and some toiletries in her bag. But I'll tell you, it's a small inconvenience really at the end of the day. And since their flight didn't leave until 7:30 the next night, I shuffled my calendar around, picked him up at the Hilton, and took him into Chicago for lunch. We ate at Longman and Eagle, which is a Logan Square gastro pub that just last month picked up one Michelin star when Michelin went through. Chris and I had wild boar sloppy joes, while Alan had the pork belly BLT, and I think the consensus was that Alan made the better choice. And then we ran a couple of blocks down to a brew pub, Revolution Brewery, where Alan and Chris picked up some fresh t-shirts, some fresh clothing there, and I picked up some fresh beer, topped off, refilled my growler with a double India Pale Ale. Now, we spent a little bit of time thinking about it, but we just could not figure out a way that Alan and Chris could get a 64-ounce jug of beer through security. But we did have a good time, and an impromptu lunch and an impromptu get-together. By 5 o'clock, I had them back at O'Hare. They were fed, beered up, and ready to try again. When you think about it, though, it is all about the attitude. Can you have fun with it? Can you enjoy it? Do you lean into it? Do you figure out how to get everything you can out of it, or do you back away? Do you try and minimize it? Do you try and minimize the hassle, minimize the trouble, and take the shortest point from here to there. On this extended journey to Jacksonville, Chris kept chanting a mantra, "It's an adventure, it's an adventure, it's an adventure." You know, and at the end of it, she came out smiling. The second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is From the Archives, the story behind the closing song. Now, I've received a couple of requests over the past months for information on the closing song, the tune that wraps up each episode of Travel Commons. Earlier this month, Becky Boyd wrote, "I can't find the name of the song you use at the end of the show by lyrics. It is so appropriate to me and my husband. We relocated from California to South Carolina and then purchased a vacation home back in California. We often find ourselves on different coasts from each other." Well, Becky, the name of the song is Pictures of You, done by a now defunct country band from Glasgow, Scotland called Evangeline, which is now confused on the internet with a defunct country band from New Orleans called Evangeline, which probably explains why you couldn't find the song through the lyrics. Back in 2005, though, the Scottish version of Evangeline was playing festivals up and down the UK, and I found them through the Tartan podcast, which, as the name kind of hints at, covered the Scottish music scene. It, however, is also now defunct. I don't know. I feel like the last soldier standing on this one. This story's starting to get a little bit lonely. Well, anyhow, after hearing the song on the Tartan podcast, I sent a note to the band's manager, Willie Evans, because at that time they actually had a functional website, and I asked Willie just to give me a couple of words, a bit of a backstory on the song "Pictures of You," and here's his response.
"Hi, I'm Willie Evans from Scott's band Evangeline, sending good thoughts to Mark and all the listeners of the Travel Commons podcast. Touring's a part of our job that we love. It's exciting, it's fun, it's energising, and it's great to get out there and meet the fans and see new places. The downside, however, is that it can be a bit boring and predictable, with each day being pretty much the same as the day before, and inevitably we all miss our friends and our loved ones back home. The song Pictures of You from our Hardway album is about that longing for our wives and families. And, you know, whether you're an entertainer, a musician, or perhaps a salesman or businessman who travels a lot, then I hope you can identify with it. Hope you enjoy the song. Have a great day."
I'll tell you, 5 years on, I still think it is a great song about life on the road. Of course, I'm always good for a little twang, but I think I still, 5 years on, I still think it's a good song, which is why I continue to use it at the end of each of these podcasts. Now, if you like it, I think iTunes or Amazon are probably the best places to pick it up. I'll post links in the show notes at travelcommons.com and also put something up on the Travel Commons Facebook page, because given the confusion on the net, and literally it looks like, places like CD Baby and places like that have just like mushed these two bands together and probably mushed another one in there just to save everybody from the internet confusion, because it took me at least 20 minutes to unwind the whole thing, and I know what these songs are. I'll post the link so you can pick them up, and hopefully you'll enjoy the Scottish Evangeline as much as I do. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 86. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast, and I hope you decide to stay subscribed. The bridge music for this episode is from Magnatunes, the We Are Not Evil label, Arlos, Auto Parts, and Salvation. Now, that's the name of the song, and the band is called Swivel Neck Jones. I had to check on that one a couple of times, make sure I got them in the right place. Smiling Perspective by General Fuzz and Goa Life by Ambient Technology. They're all available at magnatune.com. Check out the show notes at travelcommons.com for links that'll go directly to these bands. Now remember, if you have a story, thought, comment, gripe, moans and groans, cries of the traveler, send them along, text or MP3 file to comments, COMMENTS at travelcommons.com, or you can send them to mpeacock at Twitter, or write them on the Travel Commons wall on Facebook, or post them on the website at travelcommons.com. Go old school there. Post them on the website. Hey, well, thanks to everyone who's taken the time to send in emails, tweets, and post comments on the website. I appreciate it. It makes doing this job a little bit easier. So until we speak again, for all, I hope everyone who is who's kind of pinned down on the East Coast, either trying to get home from the East Coast or trying to get home to the East Coast, I hope you guys get home safe and sound soon. And until we speak again, thanks for stopping by the Travel Commons. Take care. Bye now.
Home alone, life is hell. Strange bed in a lonely motel. But one thing needs my mind. The warm woman that I left behind. From California to Carolina, she calls me up and there's nothing finer. And when the